Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ here. 713-780-3776 at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at R.NoJ. If you want to get in on the show, you're more than welcome. A lot of participation this week, and we appreciate that. That is always, always nice. So if you want to get in on the show, you can call in anytime. Anything that you want to talk about. You want to talk about Verlander and being pulled. You want to talk about the bullpen. You're more than welcome. You want to talk about Dusty. You want to talk about Alex Bregman coming through last night. 4-2 win. You want to talk about Carlos Correa? You can do that as well. A special night. Did you watch all the ceremonies?
I didn't get to see it. I was so pissed. I was on a phone call for a long time, and I looked up, and it was 7:02, and so I scrambled to turn it on, and I saw some of the replay stuff. I didn't get to see it live when it happened. The game hadn't started yet at 7:02, but I saw a replay of in-game replay of Lance McCullers and Dusty with Carlos. I saw the first at bat. I did not get to see the pregame stuff, which was really pissed me off.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to see that, like, since he was gone. I've wanted to see that.
Yeah, he got his AL championship ring. Kylo was out there, and he's just a little baby, and he's clapping because everybody's clapping for Carlos, so he was clapping. So he stole the show, really. So that was neat, and McCullers was out there with him, along with Dusty, giving him his ring from last year, so that was pretty cool.
And Lance stole his baby.
Lance stole his baby. He's the godfather of the baby.
But you still can't steal someone's baby.
You don't steal a baby when you're the godfather. He handed him the baby.
He started walking somewhere with the baby, and for all I know, he took the little baby back to the house and said, "We need you to come back here, play shortstop. Pena will go play first when Yuli leaves, and we'll be fine."
Pena at first with Carlos.
But we're not going to pay that man $30+ million.
No, but what is the baby worth? That's what you're basically saying.
Well, I can tell you this.
You got to take less.
Well, the mom was Miss Texas or whatever, and the dad is one of the elite fielding shortstops of the last, 15 to 20 years. I mean, that's probably more expensive than one of my babies would have been.
Well, what is it worth to them, though? Hey, Carlos, you got to take $3 million a year. Do you want your baby back? You got to take $3 million a year.
It's weird that we got into this in the first 2 minutes,
right,
of stealing babies and ransom demands, but right, that's where this show will go.
Well, that's right.
So, we're not afraid to go there. Other shows are afraid to go there.
Well, it was Carlos night last night, so it was pretty cool. And
people were very respectful, very positive. There's some fake thing out there where, like, oh, you fans want Carlos booed, but you get mad when Jose Altuve gets, oh, all you fans, who are you talking to? What straw man are you talking to?
What is he talking?
I didn't see somebody on Twitter, and apparently there's been 5 or 6 people on Twitter who want to see Carlos get booed.
Cares? I saw before the game, and I don't know, a lot of people have it, but Manny Fresh had this to say. Hey, he left here. He went for more money. F him. So,
yeah,
you know,
see,
what?
That is a super mega minority opinion.
I think so, too.
I haven't talked to a human that says so, that. Not with human voices.
So in real talk, he turned down $32 million a year for 5 years, $160 million. He turned that down, and he went for 35.1 for 1 year, and then 1 year, and then 1 year.
3 years, potentially.
Potentially. But see, the deal is that, well, oh, you mean he left here for another $3 million per year? No, actually, because in 5 years, he's not going to be able to get a contract near that. No, so,
right.
But he might, if he plays well, which he's not playing well enough to get a 10-year, $300 million deal. It's just not.
Nah, I think when it's all said and done, you know, Carlos has a number that he wanted. It's a quote-unquote respect thing. It's an ego thing. There's other Puerto Rican shortstops who are making $300+ million in Tatis and Lindor. I think he wanted to be in that club too. You know, it's something that none of us can get because we're not in the position about trying to be the same. Or maybe you can based on your work experience and you say, hey, I'm worth what this guy's worth as well. And that's what Carlos is doing. He's not looking at it as, oh, $150 is good money. You don't think that's good money? Mm. That's not what it is. It's about a number. Okay, they've all reached generational wealth. It's just about a number with his peers, and he wants to be considered with his peers. So I get it.
But why be underpaid anyway? I mean, I know that it's an ego thing and everything else, but that's the market. That's economics. Hey, the market out there for shortstops, the best shortstops in the game, is this number.
I totally get it. The market wasn't for Carlos.
No, it wasn't.
So that's what I'm just saying. In theory, yes, I get it. And in practice. But I do wonder if he will be as happy for his extra chance at more money. I wonder if that money above what he'll ever spend will make him happier. That's the question. Will your ego, and is this, I'm just asking like a real question. When you get past it all, when you get past you're past $100 million, you're set. You know, and you're going to be making money with endorsement deals too. Will it be worth it to you? Will you be happy wherever you live, whatever your next team is going to be? Are you going to be happy with the additional money beyond what the Astros are going to pay you? Or are you never going to find the same level of happiness, but you'll have a lot more money? Maybe not money you'll ever spend, but it will still be a number that's in your account. You know, I wonder for Carlos, who specifically loved Houston. Houston loved Carlos Correa, and the teammates were, you know, you see the love and adoration for the teammates other than Luis Garcia, who I took a picture of when Carlos was getting a standing ovation.
No, nobody. He didn't even.
He was like,
whatever. Apparently, he didn't like Carlos.
He and Manny are trading text messages. But I just wonder if Carlos in 4 years will say, I'm so glad I got much more money than the Astros paid, or I got $100 million more than they offered, or whatever. Will that be worth the move, leaving the teammates, potentially the losses, or not winning? I just think that's something that can't be answered by a player. It's impossible. They're too young. They don't have the experience. They don't have the hindsight. So it's an impossible thing to ask a player, because the players are never going to consider that, because they think wherever they go is going to win, and that money is going to be like, when you have $100 million more than you could have gotten, my gosh, you can do so much more. Reality is, once you hit a certain number, unless you're spending it like a crazy NBA player from the 90s, like an Antoine Walker, you're not going to, God forbid, you ever hit that extra $100 million to start spending, because you've got a spending problem.
Yeah, no, you got, that's, but it, you know, because it turns out that, you know, $160 million is really about 80 or so in neighborhood.
That's a good point.
You know, and then
not in Texas.
Not
in Texas. It's not your tax rate's not, your tax rate is not 50%.
I'm going to show you something where Californians are paying less in taxes than Texans are.
Well, show me that, because Daniel Jeremiah did all the taxes and almost moved because
not in the highest tax bracket, but his account, but regular people, they're
I think
getting
he's
killed.
He's in the highest bracket.
Regular people, but Carlos ain't regular people. He's got big money, and he said,
and
tonight,
he also has an L.
And after the game, he talked about how special it was.
It was truly special. The fans, the organization, the ex teammates in the Astros. You know, it was truly a moment that's going to live with me forever.
That was pretty neat.
That's great.
It wasn't exactly Freddie Freeman returning to the Braves. Did you see that one?
I did.
That was, I mean, it was, the fans were, the stands were packed, and it went on and on and on.
Yeah, I remember now, Atlanta, everybody, all the fans knew that was almost not even Freddie Freeman's choice. And right. The information, when did the information come out about the agent not giving him an offer? Was that, or at least the
well, and he, the agent,
the
suing.
Accusation, the accusation. Yeah. When the did that come out? After I think it may have come out after.
I think it
Freddie.
Did come out after he was there. Yeah, he was there early in the season. He was there, I believe, when I was in Vegas, which is a while ago now. So It was really, really nice. I think the fans, was there booing? I didn't hear. I don't know. Did anybody say there was booing?
There was any
going on? No.
I mean, it was drowned. If there was any, then it was.
Wasn't like everybody was standing. It was a standing ovation of a lot of people, but not everybody was standing for him. And they did give him a nice welcome back. But Carlos says he also will never forget what happened tonight.
It was great. It was definitely very emotional. It was a special moment, not only for myself, but also for my family that was here. And, I want to thank the Houston fans and the Astros organization for making it happen. Honestly, that was quite a great experience. I will never forget.
Yeah. Now, a lot of guys would say, but we lost the game. So, but Carlos, I guess he doesn't care about winning. Carlos doesn't care because he was supposed to be dour and say, we lost the game, so none of this matters. that's what people in the media are gonna say, or I just said one of the two.
Maybe they'll find a reason, but I thought that was cool for Carlos, and the fans treated him just like the way I feel about him, which is nothing but positives. I'll never have anything but love for him. And in case you missed it, Carlos had to step in and play peacemaker as well,
mm-hmm.
because Jose Altuve was grazed by an inside pitch.
It was funny that's...
I don't know what set him off. There's got to be something else.
There's got to be something with Aaron Sanchez.
He was grazed on the inner portion of his... I mean, on the outer portion of his left thigh. It was a sinker that spun inside, got away from him, clipped him a little bit on his leg, but he was
barely even brushed his leg.
He was pissed after it happened.
Right. Soon as it happened.
Now, that's only the third time that he's hit a batter, according to Jeff Blum on the broadcast. I don't know if Altuve, and they were on the same team for a little bit after Sanchez made four starts for the Astros after a trade. So I don't, the Greinke trade, it was the same year as the Greinke trade. So I don't know if he was feeling some type of way from an argument they had. Maybe they didn't get along when they were Astros. I don't know, but I couldn't figure out what it was. Like, what made Jose Altuve so pissed off?
Do you remember Altuve being pissed off like that?
Never.
I know, right?
To the point of, like, I wish he would get pissed off sometimes. But he was pissed, and I think he didn't like that Sanchez was trying to talk to him or say something to him when he was going down first baseline.
But he was
pissed after it happened.
Immediately, Altuve was pissed off. Immediately. Because his helmet fell off, so he went down and got it, and he got up, and he was staring at him.
Do you think Sanchez ever maybe said something that wasn't broadcast publicly about, Altuve being a cheater or something like that?
No.
And was he trying? I'm trying to figure out. I couldn't figure it out at the time. There's got to be something behind the scenes that we don't know and probably never will know. I certainly don't think it was intentional. But I don't know their history. Who has history with Jose Altuve other than stupid-ass fans who don't know anything?
Yeah, right. No.
I don't know. Or Cody Bellinger or whatever. Like, and that's been dispelled. I think pretty much all baseball players know that Altuve was clean. As clean as you could be on that team. I don't know what it was. So anyway, Carlos Correa had to come over. The benches kind of slowly trickled out, and it didn't materialize.
Well, not right away. Mancini and Maldonado were out immediately.
Well, they jump out, but they didn't run onto the field.
No. They went to the outie sign.
They went to the outie sign. They didn't hit the first baseline, and the Twins didn't hit the third baseline, but Carlos Correa came over, talked to Dusty, talked to Altuve, went and talked to his pitcher. Nothing became of it. But the only weird thing that happened was Rocco Baldelli came out of the dugout like a manager's going to do. And then after he was done talking to the umpires and cooling things down, he just walked over to the mound, said something, and left. And the umpires, we didn't see it initially, so the whole broadcast was about, wow, he's getting screwed here. But they made a motion to the Twins dugout and to the media that's an official visit to the mound because he stepped on the mound and talked to the manager.
Unfortunately, and I kind of agreed with Baldelli. You made the motion but you never told us that was official visit.
But they could have been more adamant.
Yeah, they could
I guess, have. But they went back and showed the video replay where they did.
I know, but not if you're walking back to the dugout, you don't see that.
I kind of think the same thing. Like, you need to make sure they know.
They know, right.
Because that wasn't a standard mound visit.
So then they went out. The pitching coach goes out again when Sanchez gets them. It gets in the problem. Actually, he walked Ubeli, and then right after that, actually, and he went out there. And they said, okay, now you got to make a pitching change.
And he's like, what?
And then did you see Dusty come out and he was pissed off because Baldelli was taking so much time?
Oh, Baldelli. I've never seen anything like
this. Well, it was good, though.
It was fair, I thought, for the Twins. No one was warming up. Baldelli gets thrown out of the game after he's talking, arguing. It's clearly to buy time because he knows he's not going to win that battle for a pitcher for Sands to get loose. And then he eventually gets thrown out of the game. And then, I've never seen this before, John. He goes to the mound.
Yeah.
He talks.
And the umpires are okay with it.
And they're fine with it. Right. No one cared. He went and had a conversation just like a manager. They allowed him to do that. Maybe he told them when he's arguing, I'm going to get thrown out of this game right now to buy my pitcher some more time. So throw me right now. Yeah. Like, okay, you're out of here. He went. He talked to his pitcher. No one's trying to get him off the mound.
I don't know what you can do, though. What, are you going to drag him off?
Well, Dusty, the umpires can converge. They didn't even converge on the mound.
No, I know, but what are you
going
to do?
Say anything.
Drag them off?
I just think it was everyone knew the deal.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, he clearly didn't know that was a second mound visit. There's no way he did. There's
no way.
Pitcher.
No.
So they let him, and then he was in the dugout hanging out for a while talking to people.
And then he went, what is going on?
All
right, when we come back, the Justin Verlander situation and pulling him. And it had Twitter afire. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, a little Proximo.
Well, a little tequila should have been had yesterday by the starting pitcher for the Astros, for our hometown baseball team. Because I can tell you this much, that's a celebratory Añejo Extra sipping tequila type of night when you ball out like that. And maybe you do it at your work. Maybe you do it. Maybe you're an Amazon driver. Man, I was driving the hell out of these packages today. Boom, tequila. Maybe you are an accountant. Did you see the way I was working those numbers? Bang. I'm going to have a sipping tequila. You could be a florist. Did you see that arrangement I had? That arrangement was the goat arrangement. Boom, you're drinking tequila. Now, you also might have an issue if that's what you're celebrating. But I'm just saying, I want you to celebrate with Maestro Dobel. It's a top shelf tequila that is very reasonably priced, and you can find a variety of tequilas. The Reposado, the Añejo Extra, the Cristalino. How about this? They created their own variety of tequila, and people loved it so much that other companies started copying it and creating their own quote-unquote Cristalinos. It all started with Maestro Dobel and their Diamante. Make sure that you have Maestro Dobel on your shelf. When it comes time to have a margarita, a cocktail, a sip of tequila, make sure that you're doing it with the company that is making some of the best and most consistent tequilas out there with 11 generations at the helm with 100% pure agave. It is Maestro Dobel. Every single time out, it's Maestro Dobel.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Twitter was all amiss. It was miffed last night. 91 pitches, and I'm thinking this while he's in the sixth inning and he's getting up to 80, 87, 88. I'm like, how in the hell is he going to get a no-hitter? It's going to be impossible. Can't. It's impossible to get a no-hitter with all
chasing
this number
a no-hitter
of pitches.
Is not going to override exactly what the Astros have done all year long. You can't promote a six-man rotation to keep Justin fresh for the playoffs and also promote going way past the pitch count for a no-hitter. And if you're not going to go way past the pitch count, now, the argument could be this isn't about a no-hitter. It's about Justin Verlander going seven innings and having one less inning for those guys. Because it went from a no-hitter to a six-hitter quick.
So there definitely was an argument for him to come out for the seventh inning. Okay, he's thrown 100 pitches. Man, 9 times this year. And he's been in the 90s, umpteen times, whatever. So he has been, there's no question he could have come out for the seventh inning.
Now, he was averaging 15 pitches an inning. And I'll tell you what, man, that was a really premium start from Justin Verlander. He had a tail on his fastball that was up in the zone at 96 that guys couldn't touch. He was throwing his slider that was, I mean, it was out of the zone. It would sink out of the zone, and he has taken a lot off of it. Guys were way, way over the top of it. They had at one point when he had 6 strikeouts, they showed where every strikeout pitch was, and one of them touched the zone, one of them was in the zone, and 4 of them were out of the zone. He was owning. That is one where if you would have just let him go, I think there's a decent chance that we'd still be looking at, you know, he would have got through the seventh into the eighth with the shot at a no-hitter because his stuff was so good last night. Now, because it was high strikeout caliber, here's the Sanchez replay. Because it was high strikeout caliber, or the high strikeout numbers, there was a lot of swing and miss, you know, and he got hot. He got a little high in some of the, I mean, for there to be a no-hitter through 6 innings, but he's still averaging 15 pitches an inning, it just goes to show you that he was willing to work deeper in some counts to make sure they couldn't get a pitch that they liked. He just wasn't throwing hitters' pitches. They got nothing.
No, wasn't
giving it. You'll hit what I give. You'll hit what I give you, and you'll like it.
I mean, I got on my timeline. Dusty sucks. Dusty is just a garbage.
You know, he was only going to go the seventh at most, right?
At most. But you know, you're bringing in Stanton. Now you got an extra inning of this bullpen right now, and Will Smith, goodness.
Will Smith did Will Smith stuff.
But before we get to that, here's Justin Verlander on the decision of him being pulled with 91 pitches and a no-hitter.
Yeah, we had discussed working on a 5-man this time through. Actually, we had discussed doing it last time, but after kind of the last inning in Chicago where I really had to go to the well there and, extend myself, we thought it was wise to give a little breather, stay on the 6-man, and then this time we had already discussed kind of staying a little kind of lowering the workload a little bit to allow me to go into a 5-man this next time, and after 6 innings at 90-ish, 91 pitches, it's not going to be one of those nights. Maybe 15 years ago, 10 years ago when I was allowed to throw 130 something, but not now, and not, specifically not after Tommy John and this being my first season back. So it was a pretty easy conversation. I talked to Moldy, talked to Miller, and I think we all.
Case closed. Next one. Next order on the docket.
Yeah.
That conversation's over.
If
Justin Verlander literally slammed the door and just told you he's going to a 5-man rotation next, they wanted to keep his workload light. There's a discussion that was had inside the organization. He was laughing after the 6 when he was coming out. He has no beef with it.
No.
And said he had to go to the well on his start previous. So this is a non-argument for anyone. It's over. You can get mad at Dusty again if you want. This has nothing to do with Dusty. This is an organizational decision. Justin Verlander just told you. Unless you want to call Justin Verlander a lie. You want to call Justin Verlander a lie?
Wow. Wow. Don't do that.
You calling Justin Verlander a lie?
If Justin Verlander is fine with it, then everybody calm down.
Exactly.
Then you should be fine with it. And, oh, by the way, it makes a lot of sense. Going to a – he's – and if you want to know the truth, I know that they've got days off coming up now. So that's just fine. So he still is going to get some more rest, more than usual, because they've gone through some stretches this year. I don't know if I remember where you're 19 games in 20 days, 33 games in 34 days. I mean, what one day off in just they've had some tough stretches here where they've done this, and now they're going to get a little bit of a breather. So it'll be nice for Justin. Listen, work less. And get to the postseason and have him fresh. To me, You know what? I would have probably brought him out for the seventh inning, especially the way this bullpen is going right now.
But you probably hit your 100 pitch count.
Is there a game lately that the bullpen hasn't given up a run?
It's not great.
It's still not great. Best bullpen in baseball.
It really sucked yesterday. You're winning. You have to get a 4-0 lead to hang on because, you know, Stanek early, yes. But then Stanek reached back and got some real gas going in the tank. That at-bat against Miranda was like, that's the most overwhelmed I've ever seen a major league hitter against a fastball. He was swinging at pitches that weren't even – he just decided, I can't hit a fastball. I'm just going to swing. I got to start my bat. And he was still behind. It was the most overwhelmed I've seen by a guy with a fastball since Adam Everett against anybody. Then you've got then Will Smith, just totally Will Smith that like in immediately a ground rule double. And you're like, Will Smith, I know Odorizzi sucks, but this isn't a whole lot better. That was a very fair trade. Will Smith for Odorizzi.
You get our
very fair
our
trade.
Stuff, we get yours.
And then you have Nerys coming in, can't even close a game.
Well, how about he got the double play first though?
Yeah.
He got the double play to get Will Smith out of that, which was huge.
Yeah, that's true. The inning before.
Yeah,
he had to save Will Smith.
But if you
Smith.
Bring an Astro reliever in after he gets
across an inning.
Across an inning, it's over.
It's a disaster.
It's always a disaster. It's been that way for
probably
years.
77% of the time they give up runs when they cross over an inning. And Hector Nerys was just stunk. He couldn't get out of it. And you're like, are we not going to cover -1.5 runs? Because that was going through my mind. I'm like, what is going on? Really what I was thinking was, is this going to be a 3-run home run and the Astros lose 5-4? Because I will burn my own house down if this happens. I was going to be furious. That's one that you absolutely cannot lose when you got a no-hitter after six.
No, you can't.
And they turn it into a six-hitter. And then Brian Abreu comes in, and I'm like, oh, no. Are you gonna do something? And Abreu with the bases loaded. 4-2 with the bases loaded because the Nerys gets out of it. And the Astros win 4-2. They cover the number. They cover -1.5. It stays under the total.
Presley's got a neck again. Montero wasn't available. So you had to rely on Brian Abreu. It's like, oh, my goodness, what the heck, fire?
Here comes your closer, Brian Abreu.
Oh, my goodness.
Steve says, Nerys and Will Smith have been throwing out Pedro Baez vibes lately. Sure hope they work it out before the playoffs. Will they be playoff ready? I mean, they're both going to be on the roster. Nerys, of course, but I think Will Smith's going to be on the roster too because he's left-handed.
Boy, he doesn't come. He does not have a clean inning ever,
ever,
ever.
Never a clean sheet. Like he can't. You're going to look on. You're about to look him up. I bet you will find that. You will find that Will Smith has before because I already looked it up because I felt like has he ever gotten three people out in an inning? And it's happened for the Astros, but not much. He's going to put somebody on base. He is going to put somebody on base.
Yeah. All right. It's 729 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. I got a list here, Lance, of – I'm going to see if you agree with this. The best wide receivers in the game. In the game. And we'll talk about it on the other side.
It starts with Nico Collins and then go from there.
And then from there. And then from there.
The last time – oh, good heavens. The last time Will Smith worked a game – that he didn't allow a base hit. This is 7 consecutive games where he's allowed a base hit, and in none of them did he work more than an inning. How is this possible? Well,
what's his whip right now? Two
whip
and a half?
Is an Astro or whip total?
A total. 2.5?
1.5.
1.5.
As an Astro, it can't be great.
No,
as,
it's not
as
great.
An Astro.
You know what's great is Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. And what's great is that your house is going to be worth more. Your house is your business is going to be worth more. That it's going to be more livable. That it's going to be nicer. That it's going to be more valuable. And you can sell it for more. What it's going to be nice is having whatever it is that you don't have. If you don't have that outdoor patio or that outdoor kitchen, if you're putting in that pool and you need the tile done around it, you want a patio out there and you want that kitchen out there because you're going to spend a lot of time out there. It is awesome. We did that at our old house with the kids, and the kids grew up and they had that kitchen and they had that pool out there and they had parties. That was just so good. And it was because of Jeff Aronoff and what he had done for us. And if you're looking for a great way to get that new whatever it is, or fix up whatever it is that you have. Fix up that bathroom. Fix up that kitchen. Fix up that those cabinets, the countertops, whatever it is that you want to get fixed up. And you businesses out there, you want to add an outdoor patio to whatever restaurant or whatever bar you have or whatever. Jeff Aronoff can do that as well. All you got to do is start the process. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822, absolute marble and granite.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Rich, tell them what I'm good for. Tell them what I represent and everything I stood for. Tell them to take a look more. Tell them that I'm on and why I can't let them off the hook for. Tell them who we push for. Tell them who they gush for. Tell them.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 734. John and Lance along with RJ. I'm looking at a list, wide receiver rankings. In the league, who do you think is the best wide receiver in the league?
Well, I mean, you know, it's easy just to default to the last year and you say Cooper Kupp.
The way he played, you can make that argument.
He's had 1 year. But
well, yeah, he's had a few more years. He hasn't been great, if you want to know.
He's had 2 years.
Right out of the truth, Brandon Cooks has been better than Cooper Kupp has before last year. Much better. Not even arguable.
Been in the league longer, too. But, Cooper Kupp is probably up there. But I would say I don't think you can say it's Ja'Marr Chase yet. Who am I missing? I'm missing somebody really – I've got to be missing somebody really good.
Well, I'll give you a list of guys.
Okay, go ahead.
Debo, CeeDee, Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's who I'm missing. All the traded guys. I would say out of that list, probably Davante Adams 1 for me, Tyreek Hill 2, A.J. Brown 4, Justin Jefferson 3. Justin Jefferson's so legit. The wide receivers are unbelievable right
They've
now.
They've got him 1.
Who?
Justin.
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. I thought about it too. I think Justin Jefferson, my son asked me, who was better, Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr? No. Somebody else said, If you ever talk to Derek Stingley, ask who was better, Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase. My answer to that person, whoever it was who said that yesterday, I was having a conversation with somebody on a phone, and Justin Jefferson played slot a lot over there, so I'm not sure he and Derek Stingley matched up as much in 19 in practices. But
maybe not in team, but in individuals.
Justin Jefferson has good play speed, so he can hit home runs. He can get catches, tough contested catches. He scores touchdowns. He has an elite quarterback, obviously, thrown to him in Kirk Cousins, because you look at the stats. He must be elite if the stats are like that.
Right.
Joke, sarcasm, for those of you who didn't grow up with any sarcasm. I don't have a problem with saying Justin Jefferson.
And
the guy that's going to take the next step is going to be CeeDee Lamb this year. CeeDee Lamb's going to have a monster
Everybody
year.
Thinks that CeeDee Lamb is up there this year. Justin Jefferson 1. They've got Cooper Kupp 2. Ja'Marr, Stephon Diggs, and Davante Adams 5th. I've got a problem with Davante Adams 5th. But I think everybody is just assuming because he's going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr that he's falling off.
They're not looking at the body of work. They're looking at what they expect him to do this year.
Maybe, yeah.
I would agree with you. Dude, it's hard to not say Devontae. But then again, you know, you look at Justin's productivity with Cousins, who's not a bad passing quarterback. That's just a weird thing that's developed where people have their whipping boy and it's going to be.
And how about that
Kirk
he doesn't
Cousins.
Have Mike Zimmer whipping him anymore?
Yeah.
You know, he's got Kevin O'Connell.
I mean, he's not a winner. Kirk Cousins isn't a winner.
No, but apparently you saw the story this offseason that Mike Zimmer openly was disgusted with Kirk Cousins.
Do you? And by the way, Kellen Mond, I guess he's done. They just traded for a backup. He's now a third stringer again.
Well,
this guy was drafted in the late second or early third. He was either late second or early third because the Texans moved up to get Davis Mills. And now they traded for Nick Mullins to be a backup because they don't believe
are you sure
in
it's
good, Kellen
he's not going to be the third guy?
Or? No. You don't make a trade for a
conditional seventh rounder.
Yeah, but you still don't bring another quarterback.
And it's a conditional seventh rounder.
But you don't bring in a quarterback as a third stringer the report was they were bringing him in to be the backup. So everyone's like, well, I guess Zim wasn't wrong on Kellen Mond.
Yeah.
You know where Zimmer is now, right now, Mike Zimmer?
No.
He's coaching.
Austin.
No.
No.
He's coaching. He's a defensive coordinator. He's a defense coordinator for a former NFL player who is a head coach. It's not an FBS school.
Where's he? Oh, he was with Deion?
Yeah. Jackson State.
Yeah.
Deion's trying to get together a monster staff.
Yeah, that's right. I
he's with Jackson State. I reached out to Jackson State about a recruiting program that that analytics director connected or he made. We've already sold it to Miami, Texas A&M, and I was trying to get it and basically give it for free to Jackson State. Can't get anyone to call me back. Okay.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what you get.
Yeah, I don't want to call back but Jackson State. Yeah, that's fine. Big.
Okay, in what order would you draft these guys fantasy-wise?
I'd go not Devontae Adams one. Tyreek's going to have a big year. Justin Jefferson will have a big year.
Cooper Kupp's going to have a big year. Jamar Chase is going to have a big year. Stephon Diggs is going to have a big year.
Kupp's going to potentially get overdrafted. Like, he'll have a good year. But I don't know if he's going to have a bigger year than Tyreek. And, of course, now you got Tua throwing versus Stafford, but how is Stafford's arm?
CD, you got Debo that can play running back as well, if he will.
So I asked John Middlecoff about that. John is a former NFL scout who's been covering the Niners and the Raiders as a media member in San Francisco for about the last 6 years, 7 years. And what he told me, John, was that I said, are they going to use Debo less as a running back now? He goes, bleep, no. He just got his contract. As soon as I got his contract, like,
now you're playing
back in the backfield. He said, no, he's going to get the same carries. He said, I understand his argument. And that was so that he could raise his value. He goes, they're not going to give him the ball less as a running back. I would probably draft Justin Jefferson first out of that group. Who would you draft first?
I think I had Cooper Kupp on my team last year.
He's a monster. Jamar Chase is going to be a monster this year.
He was huge.
You know, the thing with CD is I think he's going to get a lot of targets. I do wonder about how many touchdowns he ends up with.
I'm going to tell you this. If Debo's sitting there, if Kupp's gone.
I had Debo last
Justin's
year.
And Justin's gone. I'm taking Debo.
I had Debo and Cordarrelle Patterson. Let me tell you something.
You snake points
every week. Yep. You don't even worry about it.
Yep.
Those points, especially
I'm
Debo.
Not sure that Tyreek's going to have as big a year as you think.
I think he will, but then again, you know, you do have the Tua factor. I just know that no one can cover him in football. So,
how much is Gabriel Davis going to take away from Stephon Diggs?
I don't know. Probably not too much.
I don't know.
I think Gabriel Davis would be better. I think Gabriel Davis is going to take all the catches. Well, number one, I think that the passing total is too low in the over-unders for Josh Allen. I think Josh is going to throw for more yards than whatever number they have.
How much he runs.
I think they have 4,200. He does run a lot, but I think Josh is going to throw a little bit more. Most of these quarterbacks by year four, I think it is year four or year five where the running numbers start coming down. Because I've looked at running quarterbacks before. The running numbers start coming down. They start to become more comfortable passers. I think they recognize, oh, I got a chance to make a lot of money if I just don't get hurt. I'm going to sit in this pocket. And some of them just get more comfortable in the pocket. And start making better.
He's a maniac, though. He wants to win, and he'll do anything. He'll go for that extra yard, which is dangerous, but he's such a big dude.
No, he plays.
I have no fear of taking him as the first quarterback.
He plays the game like a blend between Cam and Andrew Luck. You know, big guy who will do whatever it takes to get an extra yard. I mean, he's got some Luck and Cam both in his game, for sure. Man, that's a really hard one. How great are the top end? And A.J. Brown, if Jalen Hurts can just get the ball out on time and throw accurately, A.J. Brown is going to end up with 97 catches, 11 touchdowns. I mean, he's going to end up with 1,400 yards.
Yeah. No, I think that A.J. is going to be a good – man, there's a lot of good wide receivers.
Is it a big downgrade third year in the league, Jalen Hurts – versus Tannehill? I know people act like, no, it's an upgrade. No, Tannehill's not that big a slap. Stop acting like he's a big slappy. Tannehill's okay.
No, I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a big year.
I think he could.
I think he will.
I think he could. His over-under on touchdowns, 24.5, I think. I think he could end up rushing and throwing combined? No, it's passing.
Oh.
I think he could end up at 31. Here's the video of where Lance McCullers literally steals Carlos's baby, before the game.
No, he didn't steal
leaves,
the baby.
And we don't see him
here,
give
the
baby anywhere.
So you can
give
get
me that
your
baby.
Ring. Look,
give me that baby.
Kisses him.
And then what does he do?
Kiss
walks
the
off
baby.
With the, walks off with the baby.
He walked to his mom.
But we do we see him give the baby back to the mom?
No, the baby never
okay,
got back.
Okay, at no point did you see no. him hand the baby back.
Yeah.
And do we know that was the mom? Yeah, looks like Daniela.
Yeah, that was Daniela. I'm pretty sure
that was that
Daniela.
An elaborate ploy by the Astros and Lance McCullers to maybe have their shortstop of the future to replace Pena after his 20-year career? That,
I wish Lamont would never send this again. It's the, my the mouse
on the water drip the, dispenser.
Is that the water dispenser or cocaine dispenser?
Well, it's water drip dispenser.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Because that, when you give mice cocaine, they do this too.
Oh, I've never given a mouse cocaine.
Yeah. No, I've seen that.
I know you guys, the animals in Chicago.
No, we didn't give mice cocaine. Oh. 743 ESPN. Maybe it was Coors Light in there. That's what it was. If you're looking for a great way, if you want the best beer that you can have, and you just want more and more and more and more, that's my guys over at Coors Light. Coors Light is cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. You're going to keep Texas chill. I know it's 100 degrees out there. You want to be chill. You want to be Texas chill. Well, Texas chill is Coors Light. The Blue Mountains mean everything. When you're about to take that first sip of that beer on that hot day, those Blue Mountains mean everything. What I need you to do is go and pick up a 6, a 12, or a case. Have some ready for when people come over. And they're in the fridge, and you grab it, and you show them those Blue Mountains, and they're like, yes, I'm gonna enjoy this beer because it's going to be as refreshing as it gets. It's going to keep your house. It's going to keep Texas chill. When you're looking for the best beer to entertain or just have a great time and keep in Texas chill, it's Coors Light. Climb on, baby.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 747 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tony says, an all-time great children's book, if you give a mouse cocaine. Well, that's not
something no. Tommy DiPaolo wrote a book about the mouse that had cocaine. That's not kids are headed to school right now. Maddie's going to hear this. Now I'm more worried about my daughter hearing stuff on the air than my wife.
Get this. Evan Drellich says this. And Evan Drellich is obviously, he's got a blue check mark. So, okay, we got to listen.
Former, he just covers baseball now, right, for The Athletic.
When did this come out?
Is this one of those where it's old?
It might be old.
You got to be careful. It's from The Athletic, right?
It's from The Athletic.
They promote old articles,
yeah,
so half the
why.
Time you're looking at
so
old articles.
So Dustin just sent this. This is dead. That's probably old. Well, it says it's 3 hours ago, but it could be an old story, So I'm not going to do that. And it was a story back in The Athletic about he deleted data from his phone. This might have been when the St. Louis investigation was going on. The guy who went to prison for stealing Astros stuff. Off of the Astros computers.
Well, what's wrong with that? Only the trash can thing is bad.
No, that's right.
Heads aren't even bad.
No, that's not bad. Luno claimed he was removing sensitive photos of his wife from his phone. He was scrubbing his phone because he was worried
the Cardinals were going to come.
Yeah,
get
the, well, the Cardinals might have had this stuff. They you know, they obviously had been in all of his computers.
Okay,
and had all his data.
I don't have a problem with it. That's his wife.
That's his wife.
That's his business. That's fine.
That man should not.
I can't get those pictures. I've asked. And she goes, you lose everything? Absolutely not.
No.
And now I tell her, I've got stuff. I got, you know, password protected. Nobody can get anything. She goes, nope. I would never, ever take that chance with you. Never, ever, ever.
My wife either. Forget about it.
It's not even. I'm like, I can't even, like, nothing.
She's like, yeah, right. You're going to know. No, because I'm not worried.
It's not
about,
even disgusting.
Not you're worried about you losing your phone. You'll show all your buddies.
Oh yeah, for me, it's not that. For me, it's you 100% will lose it. And look, I know that in a court of public opinion, I would lose that battle. Like, yes, Lance, you lose everything. You left suits on a plane in New York. You had to go back and get it.
It's recent. They say it's recent. He clicked on the article. He's writing a new book. And apparently it's the new at the Athletic. And something, winning fixes everything. And it, this is all new information. Jeff Luhnow had to scrub his phone because, you know what, his wife's probably pissed. Probably pissed.
How is this new information?
Well, it's maybe new information, but it probably is a story from the past. It probably.
Yeah.
This is August 24th, 2022. This is when he wrote it. So maybe it is. Yeah, this has got to be because this has got to be older because Jeff Luhnow is no longer in the league. Jeff Luhnow has nothing to do with baseball, and he's talking about Rob Manfred. While it might be a new story, it's not. It's new information. It's just not a new story.
No.
All right, 713-780-3776. TJ wants to get in here and talk about the Steelers. What do you say, TJ?
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on?
Good.
I heard you guys talking about the best wide receivers. I have a question for you guys. Can you name me another team better than the Steelers that can spit out a group or core of wide receivers like they have lately over the last decade? I mean, you got Santonio Holmes, Antonio Brown. You got Pickens looking like he's legit.
Hadn't done anything yet, though. Hadn't done anything yet. You got to actually do something. If you're Pickens.
Yeah, he got to actually do something, but you got Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, the list, Hines Ward, the list goes on. Mm-hmm. And my second question is, I'm starting to be a Pickett believer. At first I wasn't. I'm damn sure not a Trubisky believer, but no. Pickett, he's starting to show a little promise, and I just want to get you guys' take on that. I hang up and listen.
Yeah, he's coming around. I'm keeping an eye on that, and there's a lot more buzz about Pickett starting earlier rather than later. Kenny Pickett there, the 20th pick of the draft. There's a lot more buzz about him in the post. Now, you know, Desmond Ridder has played really well in the preseason.
Man,
too.
He's throwing some dimes.
Yeah, Ritter's only issues is that he's not super accurate with ball placement.
But he has been.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes that stuff can, you know, sometimes it can get a little bit better. Either was Josh Allen, and Josh Allen's become an elite quarterback in the NFL. So, keep an eye on – those are the two to keep an eye on this year. And actually, I had to do an article about most pivotal rookies. I did it with George Pickens, the wide receiver, as he mentioned. We'll get to the question in a second. But for the Falcons, I didn't do Drake London as most pivotal rookie. I did Desmond Ridder. And I said, because if Desmond Ridder is a third-rounder, can follow the model of Davis Mills, a third-rounder, and play and start this year and get valuable experience – to me, that might answer some questions about how Atlanta wants to handle the draft next year because they're going to be drafting early. And so I think Desmond playing well this year could really end up putting Atlanta in a similar position Houston was in last year with Davis Mills where they say, you know what, we can go in a different direction. Now, here's the big difference. The first quarterback off the board this year was Kenny Pickett at 20. And next year you're going to have more than likely Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and a host of other
one,
quarterbacks.
Two.
So it's a way different quarterback draft this year.
Yeah. And listen, as well as Kip Pickett is playing and you just gave Trubisky some money, they're going to keep Mason Rudolph as well. Mason Rudolph is going to be an insurance policy. Mason Rudolph has played well this preseason. And actually, if stuff happens to Trubisky and Kenny Pickett ain't ready, you might see Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, this is weird that they have three quarterbacks at that level, like – clear backup level quarterbacks right now, Rudolph, Pickett as a rookie who eventually will be a starter, and Trubisky, who is an NFL backup. They have three actual real backups right now with one a future starter, and it's kind of rare to see like that level of quarterbacks in one quarterback room. I'm not saying anyone's a great quarterback necessarily. I also want to see what Kenny Pickett does because like Joe Burrow, he had a huge jump from one year to the next. So I've got an open mind about Kenny Pickett, and there were some things that I liked about him. As far as the wide receiver stuff, I mean, it's an interesting call, John. You go back to Santonio Holmes. He started in 06.
06, now that's 16 years ago.
He played in 14. Well, if you say the last 10 years, he only played 3 years, and none of them were with the Steelers. So – you got to go all the way back to 09 on Santonio Holmes. He was only with Steelers for 4 years. I thought he was there longer with the Steelers. So Santonio hasn't played for the Steelers in 13 years. So I'm going to go further back. Like let's just say over the last two decades, has anyone had better wide receivers? Hines Ward, Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown, who despite the craziness was really talented. Santonio, Hines, Emmanuel Sanders, AB. I'm not going to say George Pickens yet because he hasn't caught an NFL pass. So we got to hold up on that. That's a pretty good group. But then after that, I mean, you know, if you're going to do that, I'll go Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, the great Kevin Walter. Yeah. Corey Bradford.
Yeah.
You know.
What about?
Okay.
What Texans about the Falcons?
My Texans are two.
What about the Falcons?
Falcons. I put the Falcons ahead of them.
Julio Jones, Roddy White.
Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, maybe.
Even Harry Douglas is in that.
Yeah, but Douglas isn't. Douglas doesn't touch any of those guys.
No.
No.
Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, Sanu was okay.
He was all right.
Sanu was okay.
Russell Gage.
I don't know. What about Saints, Mike Thomas, Marcus Colston? Well, they had.
That's pretty interesting.
It is an interesting conversation to go that deep. Dallas has had Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb now. But once again, you know, before that, who did they have before it? I don't know. I have to think about that one. But, I mean, those are all pretty prolific receivers. Hines is a high catch guy. Santonio made some big plays for the Steelers, although, you know, his highest touchdown total with the Steelers was 8. He had 1,000 yards receiving his last year with the Steelers, 1,248, and they let him go after having 79 catches for 1,248
yards. That's interesting. Last couple of decades, who's got the best wide receivers?
Yeah, we call it wide receiver U.
Well, no, it's a pro team, so it's not a university. No,
we do, but you're supposed to say U at the end of everything whenever you say a position.
I heard.
Colts, you know, you could easily go to Harrison and Reggie Wayne, but then you kind of ran out of steam after that. T.Y. is pretty damn good now.
Oh,
might be Colts, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton, and just throw some slappy in there, and you still got yourself a hell of a top three. You're going to have two of them in the Hall of Fame. Well, I don't know. Did Marvin make the Hall of Fame? Harrison? Should have. He's just kind of been a rascal the field.
I think. I don't know. I don't follow Hall of Fames. I think he is. Wow, that's interesting. That's an interesting question. Not the Texans, you're saying?
I don't think. Oh, the Texans have had two phenomenal ones.
Yeah.
But after that, it kind of.
And Brandon Cooks. I think you're pretty much forgetting Brandon Cooks.
Okay. I remember him. I guess you could count him. I mean, he's been a Texan. This is going to be year 4.
Yeah.
Santonio only played for the Steelers 4 years, had 1,000 yards receiving one time. Cooks lives in 1,000-yard numbers.
Cooks is maybe the most underrated wide receiver in the league.
And traded wide receiver.
Yeah.
It's kind of a – don't you find that an unusual double bubble?
I do, and he's such a good guy, too. That's the amazing part. If Jack Easterby loves you, you must be a great human, right?
If Jack Easterby loves you, you're getting traded by a lot of teams, apparently.
Well, that doesn't – no.
New Orleans is like, take him. The Patriots are like, take him. The Rams are like, get him out of here. And he's productive with all of them.
He's productive. He's got 1,000-yard seasons.
It's weird. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
7 at 58, ESPN, 97.5, and 92.5.
Denver Broncos, Demaryius Thomas. I got to go back and look at – because remember, Demaryius was a really good wide receiver for a while.
Mm.
RIP Demaryius Thomas.
Interesting. What else is interesting is QC Kinetics. That's interesting.
They're very interesting. They're all-natural biological therapies are something that professional athletes have been using for years to get them back. What makes it different is that with QC Kinetics, you have they take your body's own healing properties, which are the best healing properties that you have, and then they concentrate it so they work more effectively. And they put it back into the aching joints. And so the aching chronic pain that you have in your ankle, I'm saying ankle because I've got it right now, ankle, knee, shoulder, back, hip, these are some of the standard ones. But no matter where your pain is, you need to go meet with QC Kinetics. The damaged tissue is regenerated or restored. And so what you have is less pain. That's what helps to eliminate that chronic pain. And you can really go from chronic pain to being good again and being able to move and have mobility and living a more pain-free life. And that's what you deserve. You shouldn't have to have 3 to 4 shots every single year on your way to your surgery where you have a knee replacement or hip replacement prematurely. That's not what your life should be. You shouldn't live with back issues. Why don't you get with my friends at QC Kinetics, three locations in Houston, and you can check out all the reviews from people who have used them, and you're going to find that it's off the charts. This is a true life changer for you with no drugs, downtime, surgeries, or shots. It's QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.